six, five, four, three, two, one, zero. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Real Bourbon Bros podcast, the essential podcast for the novice yet curious whiskey enthusiast. Giddy up. Enjoy. From there. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Real Bourbon Bros podcast. We are coming at you tonight with a very exciting episode. Steve, exciting. I use that word
exciting.
Again.
Exciting. I am.
And amazing.
I'm excited. Yes. Thank you.
So we have Brandon Cummings from Altamont Brands, High and Wicked. Is the distillery we're going to talk about tonight. A couple rye and a bourbon that we were sampled. And thank you again, Brandon, for sending that to us right off the start. So Brandon Cummings is with us. Steve is with us. And I am Gary. How are you tonight, Brandon?
I'm fantastic. Thank you guys for having me on here. This is great. I don't get to do the audio thing so much. So this is kind of fun. Usually I'm worried about like the awkward faces that I'm making. I don't get to utilize my interesting vocal inflections as much. So
yeah, well, you have a great voice and a great face. Yeah. So you can do both.
And a great background. I took hours trying to take my background and just display it just right for just in case Gary wants to use this video footage for our future video casts.
So. Yeah, exactly.
Your TikTok influencer, suddenly.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thanks for talking about our TikTok account. We do have a TikTok account, everybody. Yeah. So go follow us at TikTok account. But again, welcome, Brandon. You are very involved with Altamont Brands. But like I said earlier, we're going to focus tonight, if it's okay with you, on our high-end Wicked. And then I'll be 100% honest with you. I heard of High and Wicked maybe a few months ago. And that was my first introduction to High and Wicked brands. So if you don't mind, can you give us a little background on High and Wicked?
I've never seen it in Michigan either. I'm not sure if it's...
I don't know if they shipped to Michigan.
I don't think it's shipped here, but anyway. Yeah.
So we Altamar Brands definitely has some presence in Michigan, but I can't recall if we have High and Wicked fully set up yet. If we don't, it will be available in Michigan soon for sure. But I got to give you a little bit of background on Altamar to give you proper background on High and Wicked.
Let's do it.
So Altamar was founded in 2007 by a gentleman named William Lee Lyons Brown III, and one of the most epic names ever, which is why I got to say all the bits of it. But Mr. Brown is a Brown formerly of Brown Foreman, and not just anybody with the name Brown, but his father was known as Big Lee Brown, and Big Lee helped create Woodford Reserve, and his grandfather, of course, helped purchase Jack Daniels from the Motlow family back in the 1950s, and his great-grandfather was George Garvin Brown, who started Old Forester. So Lyons is directly legacy. I mean, legacy, you know, icons in American whiskey. And so he left Brown Foreman 18 years ago. And at that point, he was the national sales director here in the United States. And he started Altamar Brands because he said, you know, he was done with kind of the corporate world. He wanted to do something that was much more gritty, close to the earth. And, you know, as he likes to say, he wanted to work with the most inefficient distillers in the world because inefficiency translates to flavor. Yeah. And, you know, these are guys that are rock stars coming from some of the stickiest places all over the globe. So that was 18 years ago, you know, and we've stayed out of whiskey for a very long time, in large part due to the fact that, you know, his name would bring so much attention so quickly.
Synonymous.
And so, you know, while my title is Director of Education with Altamar, the two kind of like jokingly colloquial titles that I've received are the Chief Sniffer and Taster and the Troll Under the Bridge. So that has a lot to do with the fact that, you know, when we are sent brands of, you know, tequila or mezcal or rum or whiskey, frankly, it usually shows up at my doorstep. And then I refuse to look at any of their marketing materials. And I then put it into blind tasting panels that usually consist of other good bartender friends, those with, you know, sommeliers, master somms, blenders, distillers, folks whose palates I really respect. And I then throw in mainstays, right? So it's like, here are some gold standard brands from those categories mixed in there in the blind tasting. And if those panelists don't come back with that submission being within the top, we don't move forward. So that's what's earned me the title of troll under the bridge.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, I've rejected 48 Mezcal brands to date, which is the largest category that we've been sent anything from. Yeah. And then second closest is whiskey. So we got to a point that, you know, we started receiving some whiskeys that were really compelling and really interesting. And Mr. Brown and I started having the conversation of like, well, do we actually get back into whiskey, and what does this look like? And so that's when High and Wicked kind of launched, and we launched it with two branches, essentially. One branch, which we call the Singular Limited Releases. And these are all one-offs of whiskeys celebrating where they're coming from. They can be world whiskeys. So we've got some amazing double wood finished Irish single malt. We've got some double wood finished single grain. We've got some other just cask strength single barrel single malts from Ireland. But then we've also got some long age double wood finished American whiskeys. You know, and so it's those are intended to be kind of these like one-off shining stars for each of these particular distillers. And then we've got the Kentucky Straights, which are our flagships.
Right.
Right. And those are the year rounds. This is where we have isolated all aspects of the production process to really try and define what we're going to put out there for our mainstays. So, and that's, I believe that's what you guys have.
Yes.
That's what was sent.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We have the high. Yep. Exactly. The mainstay is the straight bourbon and the straight rye. Yeah, I think both are 5 year aged. And the bourbon, obviously, we'll get into this more in detail a little bit here. 52% ABV, and the rye is 49.1. So I think those are good, just good numbers right there. It's not too high. We're just going to throw somebody off who's not maybe, you know, accustomed to the higher proofs. But Steve and I both love the higher proofs. So, and it's not too low where you feel you're not going to get your money's worth too. Some of the lower proofs, I feel I'm like, what did I pay for? But
yeah,
we'll talk about these a little bit later. I know Steve is going to sample them. I already have sampled them and have some few notes I'd like to discuss. Cool. But let's take a step back if you don't mind. Thank you again for that information in the background from Altamar Brands. That definitely fills in a lot of holes and gaps, I know, for our audience. You, Brandon, personally, how did you come to work in your current position at Altamar Brands? How did you get there? What was your journey?
So I was born into the food and beverage world. Okay. My father was kind of a serial restaurateur. At one point, he had 17 different bars and restaurants across the states of Kansas and Missouri. Oh, wow. And his longest owned was open for 47 years. It was called Poor Richard's in Topeka, Kansas, which is where I grew up. So I always like to joke that, you know, I grew up sleeping in booths and sniffing and tasting just about everything, you know, hanging out with the bartenders, even though, you know, like obviously I wasn't sipping or tasting anything at that point, but you know, that culture was very much ingrained in me from a young age. Bartended my way through college, helped run an award-winning wine bar. Jokingly, like I studied harder for our tests for the wine bar than I studied for anything in my actual collegiate degree. got out of college. Hilarious. Graduated college into the Great Recession. So, you know, had a difficult time finding a regular gig. And so went back to bartending. Helped open a craft cocktail bar in Kansas City. Started a craft cocktail festival here in Kansas City. And then started working with a nonprofit that was dedicated to agave spirits. So tequila and mezcal in particular. And through that was introduced to Mr. Brown because he happened to be importing what was at that time my absolute favorite tequila, which was called Tequila Ocho. And so got involved with him. And as the story goes, I started asking questions that nobody had asked before. And so he asked me if I'd like to start writing the materials. So long story short, you know, over time, I think he grew to trust my palate. And so there's been a lot of just fortunate circumstance of just kind of, I'm deeply passionate about the industry. Yeah. I'm deeply passionate about spirits in general. So, yeah, he was just kind of like, well, do you want to run these tests? Do you want to see what you think? I was like, I would love to.
Yes.
Do I get to do these things? Yeah. I would love to do that. And here we are. And now I'm blending whiskeys too. So I work as the blender for all the American whiskeys that we're producing from High and Wicked. So, which is an absolute honor because as you can imagine, the mentorship, available to me is pretty incredible. So,
so Mr. Brown's not looking over your shoulder like, hey,
No, actually, he's very much of the belief of, you know, here is all the leash I can give you.
Oh, nice.
Just be careful because you might hang yourself with it. So, you know, well, so it's very, yeah. It's well studied and it's, you know, but we make decisions based on facts and mm-hmm. that is core to the principles of how we operate. So,
mm-hmm. and that's great to have that resource. Yeah, it's great to have that resource, you know. Somebody with all that experience and knowledge that you can
it's incredible.
Bounce ideas. Yeah, I couldn't imagine.
I mean, honestly, it's incredible. And the stories, and not even to mention the colleagues that he's, you know, brought into the fold because, you know, I was actually having a gentleman conversation with a good friend, gentleman, mentor. His name is Dave Stringfellow, and Dave has been in the industry for over 37 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, his credentials include, you know, working with Gallo and working with Hublin before Hublin became Diageo, which are, you know, big behemoths in the spirits industry that have these massive portfolios.
Yeah.
You know, and here's Dave and I just chit-chatting about bourbon and barrels and, you know, the stories that he has about partying with Sammy Hagar launching Cabo Wabo tequila. And then here I am just like having to talk with him about how his son's doing and his boats, you know, having issues down in Granbury, Texas. And anyways,
that's awesome. I know that guy, Red Rocker. Yeah. I've seen him.
Yep,
I know who you're talking about.
Whiskey and rock and roll sort of go together sometimes. And,
you know, on occasion.
I think any kind of music and whiskey go together. I mean,
always.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a natural especially. Combination.
Right. I mean, it's America. Yeah. It's ingrained, you know, ingrained in America.
So
you know, the spirit.
I actually haven't mentioned this at all on any other interviews, ironically. But so we're actually partnered with a music festival coming up.
Oh.
In Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and it's called the Horseshoe Music Festival, but it's Dwayne Betts and his wife, Lisa Hadley Betts, but Dwayne is the son of the iconic Dickie Betts who just passed away from the Allman Brothers.
Yep.
And so Dwayne is basically coordinating this massive festival and High and Wicked is the presenting sponsor of it.
Oh my gosh.
I was a music major for a period in college, so I'm like, cool. I'm trying not to like completely lose any semblance of reason. Yeah.
Well, Steve, you're Mr. Music over there. He's our drummer, our family drummer.
Yeah, just family drummer. But.
So when is that festival in Jackson Hole?
So it's going to be over Labor Day weekend.
Okay.
So we're looking early September.
Yeah. So people can make plans and head out there if they.
Yeah. Yeah. They only just put tickets live and just announced the lineup. It's funny because like you look at the names and you're like, I don't know who these players are, but then like you look at whom they've played with and you're like, holy crap, I know everybody that they played with. You know, so it's one of those like it's a super group of iconic musicians that are unknown in the sense of like they are not the headliners, they are not the like, you know, they're not the most they're not the most namesakes, but they are absolutely the guys instrumental to those great bands that have been out there forever.
Yeah, they're behind the scenes guys, not getting the headlines maybe before, but doing all the hard lifting. So
they're the ones woodshedding, so
chopping the wood.
So we have our Faster Horses concert here in Michigan. I'm not sure if you've heard of that one, but Faster Horses. So talking about High and Wicked, that namesake, how did that start? It looks like it's a related to horses somehow.
Related to horses somehow. So there's a gentleman named Bruce Kiskadon, and Bruce Kiskadon is to date he's kind of considered to be the cowboy poet laureate. So around the turn of the century in the early 1900s, he wrote a number. He was legitimately a cowboy, so he actually ran cattle, and then decided to start writing poetry and writing essentially in the vernacular of the classic American cowboy. So Mr. Brown happens to be an entrepreneur in residence with the University of Wyoming, which they are extremely embedded in cowboy culture. And so he found himself a book of old cowboy poems, and one of the poems is titled High and Wicked. And in it, Bruce essentially writes that, you know, the best rodeo broncos, they buck plumb high and wicked. And so if you want to win the rodeo, you got to put up with the fight of the bronco, which, you know, from a blender's perspective, because I get to be a little bit more creative and artistic in that sense, I interpret that as a what we like to call what the fuckiness, which is trying to blend in such a way that like the rye is not necessarily a big spice bomb, but the bourbon is. So we're trying to actually challenge a little bit of what you would expect from each of these categories, which is why I was, you know, earlier before the show started, why I was asking if we could start with the rye before the bourbon, what you guys taste, just because it's honestly, the bourbon is far spicier than the rye. So,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's going to be a surprise. And well, thanks for warning me about that. I have not tried them. Gary has.
I have. Yeah. But I can do a little pour here too live.
But Gary did give me these two samples, and all they have on is one and two. So maybe
there's
a little chance for a
rolling
blind. Well, blind action, huh? Well, let's get into these two products that you, your signature products here, the rye and the bourbon. We'll start with the rye. Kentucky Straight Rye, I'll give you everybody some numbers on this. Like I said earlier, it's a five-year sour mash Kentucky Straight rye whiskey. It's distilled at the New Rift Distillery. 91% rye, 9% malted barley, 49.1% ABV, non-chill filter, no additives. Obviously, these are going to be in your American white oak barrels. So those are the stats on it. How did we come to this mash bill? How was this mash bill arrived, the 91 rye and 9% malted barley? How was this?
Blind tastings. Entirely through blind tastings. Okay. So we actually, when we were conducting the blinds, we put, you know, like I said, similar practice to what we do for our other categories, but we put, you know, this mash bill from New Rift in, we put the standard mash bill from New Rift, which is 95.5, but it's 5% malted rye. In there, and a number of other rye whiskeys were also in there from other distilleries that we were potentially looking at. But what was so interesting is New Rift came in both the number one and number two spots in all the blinds. And so it was kind of predestined that it's like, well, we're definitely going to work with New Rift. And then when we were connected with them, we found out that, you know, they were founded by one of our very good friends, Mr. Jay Arisman. And we're like, we've known Jay for years. He bought Tequila Ocho single barrels from us many, many, many moons ago. So, you know, here was this awesome opportunity to work with a buddy that we've known for years. And then it was, okay, well, what are we going to, what's the maturation protocols? How can we evolve this thing? How can we actually make this our own? You know, and so we've been laying down new make pretty consistently now for many years. And we're looking at seasoned new medium toast number four char. With the oak coming specifically from Missouri. So we actually tasted the differences between Missouri oak, Kentucky oak, Pacific Northwest forestry, you know, and then looking at the seasoning level. So is that oak being weathered for 2 to 3 years before the staves are constructed into barrels? Because that affects the way that lignin degrades and lactones turn into vanillin and turn into caramel and spice and apple and esters and all those things. So, you know, we analyzed quite literally every aspect of production, all the way to the final proof, which was also determined through blind tasting panels. So we tasted multiple proof points of that recipe at 5 years. And we were like, okay, what proof point are we going to go out of a bottle? So,
wow. And so you didn't, you just didn't like throw darts at a dartboard and be like, yeah, that's what I'm going to pick. You actually put some time and effort into this.
Yeah. Wow. We had to do the work. And I mean, like, at the same, you know, on the same note, it's also like this was our first foray into it. And, you know, it being of Mr. Brown's legacy, like, everybody's going to look at it and scrutinize
you
it.
You want to do your best. You want to do your cross your T's, dot your I's, so to speak, plus some. So I'm actually doing a live tasting right now of the rye and just kind of some of the notes I have, you know, on the palate. I like going right to the palate, even though nose is very important, obviously. A lot of different layers to it. So it surprised me right away because I don't know what I was expecting. I probably wasn't expecting much, honestly, but it definitely surprised me how much depth there is to this and how many layers there are to this on the palate, the rye. Let me like a little cookie maybe and some spice, cinnamon. Obviously it's a rye, so it's going to have a little more spice. But it's like a mouthful, right? It's not just hit you, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. It lingers. It sleeps over the night and doesn't want to leave. No, in a good way, though.
Exactly. You know, we're watching several movies. We're passing out. It's going to be fine.
Right. It lingers and it's enjoyable.
I have no idea what this one is, but...
Well, I could... That's what I'm saying. Do you want me to tell you which one it is?
This was great. I'm sorry, Brian. You said try the rye first, but I did number one first. So
okay, let me tell you. Okay, Steve, you tried number one. What do you think that is?
Well, can I try number two first? or second? Okay, here we go. Okay.
All right.
Very quickly here.
All right. Yeah. Steve's going to do our blind tasting here. It. Yeah.
I only had one sip of each.
That's fine. That should be very different profiles. Wow. Mm-hmm.
They are. Oh, wow. I love the contrast.
Okay.
So traditionally, I would say number one is the rye. But from what Brandon just said, I should probably choose number two is the rye.
You should go with your first thought.
Okay. So that was my first thought, is like number one is the rye.
Cool.
Which it's a great rye. You're right. When you were talking about that, I'm like, yeah, this is lingering quite some time.
Yeah.
And it's not a big punch either, and it's not very aggressive. I like how it's smooth in the taste notes, the caramel and the vanillas. But big contrast, and the bourbon's outstanding too. By the way, let's get to that one next.
Yeah, I haven't got to the bourbon yet.
Yeah.
All right. Steve's leading the show now. Let's let Steve take over. Go ahead, Steve. You want to tell us what you think of the bourbon? You want to tell us the stats on
the bourbon?
Can I tell you some stats on the bourbon first? Okay, yeah, collect your thoughts. So this bourbon, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 5-year aged, sweet mash Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 51% corn, 39% rye, 10% malted barley, bottled at 52 ABV, non-chill filter, no additives, again, American white oak. So Steve, we'll wait for you to get your thoughts. Brandon, do you have any and this mash bill? How did the same thing with this mash bill? Same idea as
same
the rye.
Thing. Okay. Yeah. On this one, we actually even went so deep as to tasting multiple yeast strains to determine. Okay. Wow. Well, what do we like best? And it was also determined through blinds. And the real irony here was that the yeast strain that we ended up selecting, which had no panelists from Brown-Forman, I have to put that out there. Okay. They blind selected a yeast strain that is basically a cousin to that of Old Forester. So the irony is that, like,
that's funny.
We ended up selecting a close variant to the standard yeast for Old Forester. So, but 513910 and the sweet mash was hugely important.
Yeah.
Because we ended up getting so much more kind of, well, I don't want to color Steve's tasting notes, but
yeah, I'm easily influenced.
He is. by that bottle. Okay.
That one's a good one.
Yo, apple? Is it apple?
It's apple. No. I mean, so from my perspective, what I tasted is we got a lot more kind of fruity, estery characteristics. Yeah. Yes. So way more fruits, like fruit characteristics that I would normally see in rum or in brandy. Because it's, you know, the discussion was, you know, Mr. Brown, as he kind of said, he's like, look, the goal here is not to make a great whiskey. It's to make a great spirit.
Mm.
You know, so that's consider nice. What you know from the world of rum, what you know from the world of Armagnac as you're constructing these blends and, you know, kind of shape that profile. So,
yeah, no, I agree. I think this the bourbon on the palate, citrus notes, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's orange or something, but definitely some citrus notes. It's lighter. To me, it's lighter, even though it's a higher proof than the rye. It just sits lighter on my palate. Again, it has that depth that I liked of the rye. But obviously, it's a bourbon. It's going to be sweeter, more caramel, caramel notes.
It's a subtle bourbon, I would say. Some taste of almost like clover or. I was going to say it's like lavender, you know, that's where like the fruity notes are coming through for me.
Yeah. So I've actually had a few folks mention that it almost finishes more like a malt, like more like you would see in like a single malt scotch you've got more of these like lavender and honey tones.
Yeah. And I like the aroma, the nose on the bourbon too. Definitely drives home that palate. Yeah. Cherries maybe on the nose, butterscotch. It's nice. Mm-hmm. Excellent two choices. And these were released December last 2022, it says. I think I just read that somewhere. Is that
so the bourbon came out in December 22, and then the rye, the final version of the rye actually only just came out this last.
Nice.
Well, actually, no, that's not true. That was probably also, that would have been October, December of last year of 23. Sorry, the cask strength version of the rye only just released like a month or two ago.
Yeah.
And so then that's not everywhere in the United States yet.
I'd love to try that. I love cask strength products.
I do as well. I mean, as the guy that tastes all the things, right?
Yeah. I mean, your job is, all right, twisting my arm. I guess I got to try.
Okay.
Interesting.
If you say
Even the label has high rye on it.
Yes.
Sweet mash high rye. That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, so typically, you know, in the world of bourbon, if you're above about 20% rye in your mash bill, people will use the term high rye. And since we had 39%, that's where we landed. We're like, we're definitely gonna own high rye, and like we want to represent that aspect of the category. You know, and fortunately, both Wine Enthusiast and Whiskey Advocate named us one of their best high rye bourbons of 2023. So, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah,
you know, it's kind of like, okay, we're only just getting started.
Yeah,
you know, we've only been around for maybe a year. Yeah. So
it's a good starting point for sure.
Yeah.
And your the cask strength products, do you guys ship those to? I know we talked a little bit earlier about distribution, and not even just the cask strength, all your products. I know Florida, we can get them. When do we think, or when do you think that the whole United States will be able to? You can buy these on your website and shipped anywhere in the U.S. When do you think that'll be?
So fortunately, we've got a couple of really good e-retailers that help us cover a large swath of the United States. Curiata.com is a great example. We're also set up with Passion Spirits, and through the High and Wicked website, we've got another retail partner through Big Thirst. And so they help us hit a majority of the U.S., but actually these products are now getting out there. I believe we're in close to 40 states, which is pretty incredible if you think about it, because these are still pretty small volumes. You know, we're blending down the rye only 30 barrels at a time, and the bourbon is blended down only 50 barrels at a time. You know, we've been laying down a lot of stocks, so we've got a lot that is getting much older, which is exciting because that means I now have older stuff to put into the blends. But they, you know, fortunately, we're getting better distribution more regularly, and you know, you can find us in quite a few states. You know, and the thing that I always have to tell people is, because we don't really have the big marketing budgets, we're not taking out full page ads with anybody.
Right.
You know, if you hear about it, if you think it sounds cool, if you like it, like go ask your favorite local retailer and mention it, because there's a good chance it's actually available in the state, but it may just not have been presented to that retailer yet.
Yeah. So, I did a look on, so Michigan has a state minimum, posting every few months. So there's four of them. Actually, I found the High and Wicked, the bourbon, and then the bourbon cask. And then there's two other ones called the Judge and the Jury. What can you tell me about those? Those are the only four that are available in Michigan right now.
Okay, so what I can tell you is that if you can find the Judge or the Jury right now, I would buy them immediately. Okay. But the reason is those were singular limited releases. Those were actually two of my first finishing projects. So The Judge is a 14-year straight bourbon whiskey finished in Hungarian Tokaj casks.
Ooh,
and the Jury is a 15-year straight bourbon whiskey, but finished in ex Tinta Negra Madeira casks for a full year, which are two very different exercises.
Yeah.
But just really trying to show how much depth and complexity you can bring to already a long-aged whiskey, but what that secondary finish can bring as far as brightness and fruit characteristics, and just really transforming something that is already amazing. But how do we just tweak it just a little bit to make it really what the fucky, right? Because that's, again, like if I can hashtag what the fuckiness, that's going to be like, if I can own that, that would be great.
Yeah.
That's what you said under so many people's under their breath in the coming when they hear this podcast.
We'll push for
it's
it.
Gonna catch on, right?
I love it. Yeah. So, I mean, just as a quick note, like that the Judge was a finalist for Bourbon of the Year at the Ultimate Spirits Challenge last year, and the Jury received an Esquire Spirit Award also at the end of 2023. And those are long gone. You can't find those anywhere else in the United States. Those were some of the fastest moving releases we had. So
I'm on a quest now.
Oh boy, that's a challenge. It's a challenge.
Well, they made it to Michigan somehow, so I, you know. There's probably only like four of them in the whole state.
It might be.
And you'll have three of them. Yeah. Brandon, quick question. I know it's like picking your own favorite, or I guess your favorite child, I should say. Yeah, what's your the singular limited release here? Which what do you got? If you had to take one bottle home, which one are you going
if
with?
If I had to take one home of the singular limited releases? Oh, my gosh. I mean, that is, it's really hard because – the Irish releases that we've had, which I have had no say in whatsoever because I would not. Right. We partnered with Noel Sweeney, who is the former master distiller and master blender of Cooley, which Cooley became Teelings. And I mean, he is one of the best blenders in the world. Some of his blends, like honestly, the most recent one, it's called I think it's release number 7, the single limited release number 7. It's the Foursquare. It's a single grain Irish whiskey finished in X Foursquare rum casks. And it is incredible. That is the one that I cannot stop drinking personally at home. So of the bourbons, though, that's a huge toss-up because the pain that went into the jury is very real for me. And it's like I sip it and I taste the struggle, whereas the judge was just one of those like, oh, man, that's a wacky idea that totally worked. It was awesome. So I'd probably go for the judge, even though the pain experience of the jury was, you know, it was worth it in the end.
It was worth it. Yeah. Well, thank you. No, like, great explanation. I mean, like, who's your favorite child, right? But
it's so
and
hard.
For those who are interested, if you go on High and Wicked website right now, you can buy the Foursquare cast finish single grain Irish whiskey. It is available on the website.
It is incredible.
So there you go.
It is incredible.
For those who are looking.
it was Foursquare. I mean, that's an Altamore brand, right?
Yes. Foursquare. Yeah. So we import the exceptional cast selections from Foursquare as well as RL Seals 12 year and Probitas rum. So,
okay.
Yeah. It's basically the perfect intersection of like several of my loves, right? It's whiskey, it's rum, it's Ireland, it's Barbados. And it's incredible.
Yeah. I was just going to say Barbados. My wife's from Trinidad. So,
awesome.
I need to, involve the Caribbean in the podcast somehow every single time.
It's important. It's very important.
Exactly. You know? I mean, you gotta keep everybody, gotta keep the wife happy. So
it's very, very true.
Very good. Yeah. So Steve, I know you are more of the rum guy than me in the,
I'm getting into more of the rums. Yeah. More the Papa Pilar's and other types of rums.
Have you had the RL Seal 12 year aged Barbados rum, Steve? Have you had that?
Oh yeah. Just let me pick it out of my, my cabinet here.
I've actually had this at my guys. One of my,
no, I have not.
My liquor store owner guys here. You know,
oh yeah.
Got a couple of friends. I've had this one before. He has his bottle. Yeah. He has his bottle and I've tried it, and it's for rums. Again, those who like rums, I would highly recommend it. So,
I mean, so the biggest thing, you know, I'm going to change hats for a second if you guys will let me.
Yeah, go ahead.
But I mean, like, the biggest thing with rum is, you know, so many rums are dosed with sugar and are confected, right? So like post maturation, we're adding sugar back into it, or we're adding flavoring back into it. And I'm not saying like spiced rums, because that's obviously a whole other category. But if we're talking bourbon, like, we already have a dialogue. We have an understanding that like there's minimal additives. There's no additives, frankly, you know, and that it bears a real age statement. And so in the world of rum, there's more unscrupulous behavior there. And part of what has made Foursquare so dynamic in the last decade since we've been importing them is that they have been very loud and outspoken that, you know, no additives, no flavoring, no sugar. It is just distilled molasses, you know, or sugarcane doing its time in barrel and then bottled and with minimal fuckery, frankly.
So, I love it.
Like, the RL Seal 12 year is a real 12 year age statement. It is aged entirely in ex bourbon barrels, and it's distilled from a blend of both, you know, it's entirely molasses, but coming from both twin column coffee still and double retort pot still. And so it's, you know, it's as close of an analog to what the best whiskey consumers in the world are already used to, because it doesn't have sugar. It doesn't have added flavoring. It's being aged in these ex bourbon barrels. But it has such an incredibly unique and dynamic flavor profile because it's being distilled from molasses, not grain.
Right.
And so you get to taste the raw material, which to me is part of the excitement of it.
It is the quality. It's the quality. I mean, that's what it comes down to. You know, it's, I think people, you know, these days, hopefully they have a palate, you know, people who have been drinking liquor, whether it be whiskey or rum, they have a palate for it. And they can develop, they know when there's additives, they know when they're getting a high quality natural product,
right,
versus something that's just
doctored and confected, and you know,
Well, last and like stuff,
you know, and as a bartender, as a former bartender, right? Like it was, I always felt like it was part of my role in dealing with guests. Like, do I actually care about hospitality? You know, if a guest comes up and they're just like, look, like I'm looking for something, I don't want something that's too sweet. Right. That understanding of too sweet, you know, you can have something that is sweet on your palate that doesn't have sugar. Whereas a rum that is already sweet, that has sugar added to it, is doubly sweet.
Right.
You know, so it's like just trying to understand what's your guest, what are they looking for? And how do I, as your bartender, try to give you the experience that ultimately, you know, you're wanting? Like that to me is hospitality. It's just like, I actually want you to have the best time possible for you, not for me, but for you. So,
I think your background, you know, is definitely helping you what you're doing now as a bartender. Now you're just a bartender for the world. You know, I mean?
Now I'm just mixing cocktails with barrels, you know, it's
now you're just not blending drinks together. You're blending whole barrels.
I know. Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. No, we I know we've been talking now, 35 minutes almost, I think. They're over 35 minutes. So we'll only take a few more of your minutes, Brandon. We know we appreciate your time so far and all the education you've laid down for us and our listeners. We have a couple quick hitters, Steve. Do you want to, unless you have anything else for the quick hitters, Steve, you want
to? No, let's get to the quick hitters. I do have a little bit of this rye left, so I got
it. Okay, we'll sip it. We're not stopping you.
Okay, well, hold on. Before we get to the quick hitters, let me pour myself some more rye.
That sounds like a great idea.
You're Steve's type of guy.
All right. Steve, this one's for you, buddy.
Yes. That's
sip together. It, don't shoot it.
Yes. Yes. That's another story about my wife from Trinidad.
I like we're all having the proper glasses for these. Pappy. So you know, at least it's not a Kenzie, so it's
I finished mine, so... All right, quick hitter number one. Okay. If you can remember, I know maybe a long time ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, maybe not as long as Steve and I, but what was your first legal drink?
My first legal drink? Ooh, yes. Legal drink is a hard question.
I know. That's
legal age.
Legal age drink. Yeah,
legal drinking age. My first LD age drink. It was a Mickey's hand grenade.
Okay. A piggyback.
So I used to, okay, another quick hitter.
Go ahead, Brandon. No, go ahead,
Brandon. I'm really good with stories. I've got stories for everything. I used to play in multiple bands in college, as you can imagine. Again, former music major.
Yeah, music, yep.
And, yeah, we used to have the storage unit where we used to practice, right, with all of our gear, and because, we couldn't play in town. And, you know, the singer would show up with Mickey's hand grenades, and I was like, I don't know what these are. And he's like, it's malt liquor.
That's the best.
So, good, bad, or otherwise, my first legal drink was definitely a Mickey's hand grenade.
All right, what was your first whiskey?
Legal. My first whiskey? My first legal whiskey?
Yeah.
Mm,
you can remember.
Man, you're digging into the archives for me.
I know.
My first legal whiskey was, there are two options. It was either Jack Daniel's or... Yeah. Kentucky Deluxe.
Oh, Deluxe.
Which, you know, I'm trying to remember where I was in college that night. Because again, like I actually vividly remember my 21st in the sense of we had band practice. We were at the shed and then everyone's like, we're going out, you know.
Yeah. JD for all.
Yeah. Well, and like, you know, so the irony is like now I get to work in the lineage of JD.
Yeah.
So.
Full circle. Full circle.
All right, keep going. Awesome. Or is that it?
Background. No, we have more. Steve, do you have one?
Well, mine are more on a professional basis, but you stole like one of the two that, you know, we were going to lash out at you. But has liquor ever got you in trouble?
Absolutely. Absolutely. that's all you need. That's all you need.
More of a yes or no answer.
Yeah, because I mean,
yes.
You want to expand on that? That warrants a little bit of a explanation there, if you can indulge us.
Has liquor ever got me into trouble? Yes, and its name is Goldschlager. I mean, it just depends what kind of trouble we want to talk about.
Yeah, the depth of the trouble.
You know, it got me into and out of relationships.
There you go.
that are both positives and negatives. I mean, ultimately, I'm now married to, you know, the love of my life, and we've got two awesome kids.
That's awesome.
So, and we met at the wine bar that I used to work at. So it also got me into the right kind of trouble, you know?
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Well,
it's, I mean, we all have those stories, and Gary won't tell any of his, but...
I mean,
I'm
holding out for the highest bidder. You know,
wait, Gary loves tequila. Is that what you just said?
No. Oh. I do not.
Mine tequila. Involves tequila, but
yours involves tequila.
I do not.
And shoes at the end of the bed, but
oh boy,
shoes at the end of the bed. Is there a whole other podcast dedicated to this?
I guess we're gonna have to.
You have to go back in the archives for that one.
Yeah. All right.
The Bourbon Bros Secret Edition. Yeah.
I said a brain fart. That was my next question. So of all the whiskey types that are out there, I know we talked about obviously bourbon, rye, a little bit of Irish. Which is your favorite? If you had one last dram, what would you go for? What of all the whiskeys of the world, which
I would lean into rye.
Rye.
Like without hesitation, I would lean into rye.
Okay.
You know, I love bourbon. Don't get me wrong, but like rye has held my attention for so long. Mm-hmm. And has been so varied, like while still being like, I can't not tell a story. You know, so one of the things that actually when I was talking with Mr. Brown early on, I was like, are you sure you want me to like be involved in the whiskey thing? Like American whiskey right now is probably the thing that I am the least enamored with because I love Irish whiskeys. I love single malt scotches. I love Japanese whiskey. I love these like lighter, delicate, nuanced styles of whiskey. And American whiskey is so big and so saturated in character. And just like, I get it. I totally get what it's trying to be. For some reason, though, rye has always held on there for me and has been consistent through my entire career. So I went like, I had this, you know, the falling in and falling out with bourbon. But rye has always stuck through it. And I don't really know why. And I feel like there's more to explore there. So I'm going to say rye.
It's your North Star.
I do love single malt, too, though.
Yeah. I get back to Scotland at some point.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So, and Ireland, Gary, you're going soon.
I'm going. That's October.
Irish single malt is also so good.
Yeah.
So, with the rides, Brandon, so you must, I mean, a very big fan. I love rides too, but you know, I'm starting to see the different, what do you call it, like the rye strains.
Sure.
Right. And so, trying to figure out where in the world, like, I don't know if you heard the Rosin Rye Project.
No, I'm not familiar.
Yeah. So it was featured on one of our previous podcasts, one of the Michigan distilleries, through coordination with Michigan State, started, you know, growing these rye fields and different strains. And you know, they didn't know, you know, where the exact origin of this rye was, but then they have an island over in Lake Michigan where they grew this rye, you know, with the perfect conditions, you know, up here in Michigan. So, and they're using that rye then to, you know, make some rye whiskey. So
make some juice.
Nice.
So it, you know, it kind of opened my eyes a little bit about these different strains of ryes. You know, it's like
deep dive.
People are, you know, really enamored with, you know, what's the mash bill, you know, percent of rye in there and so forth. But I guess they should ask, well, what strain of the rye is it?
What's the home place?
Yeah.
Right. It's not just the strain, but it's the terroir. It's the place that it came from, right?
Yeah.
Because like rye soil, grown in Michigan, weather. Rye grown in Kentucky, rye grown in Canada, right? Like those are all going to be, or New York, like those are all going to be very different things.
Unique to the weather and the location.
Yeah. Little subculture there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good job. Good job, Steve. All right. Back to the quick hitters. We'll get a couple more and then we'll get you out of here, sir. I promise.
You're good. You're good.
What is your favorite? And maybe we stay away from the Heinwicked and the Altmark brands. Favorite whiskey?
Favorite whiskey.
Like one dram.
Favorite whiskey that's not. Oh, man.
Anything.
One dram that you go out to the bar.
Yeah. What do you have?
Either, you know, doesn't have to be top real.
Old Forester 1920.
Ooh.
I was actually out the other night. I was actually out the other night, and somebody, you know, a young lady asked me that same question. She was just like, "If you could only order one thing on this back bar that's not yours, what would it be?" And I was like, "Old Forester 1920. That's absolutely
prohibition style. Yeah, that's
I love it.
It's like $60.
Yeah, it's the one whiskey that is not ours that I always have stocked at my home bar.
Yeah, but you have ties to it. So
I do, but my opinion was formed before it. Well, actually, I guess that particular expression was released after I was already working with him, but still.
Yeah. Yeah. We could agree on that. We all love Old
Forest. What would you offer Mr. Brown if he came over?
Oh.
I would offer him a San Pellegrino.
Yeah.
Bubbly water. Yeah, for sure.
Middle of the road, not taking a chance. Uh-huh.
It's just like, hey,
I like my job. I like my job.
Can I get you a nice, refreshing, bubbly water? So.
Yeah. Yes, sir. All right. Mm-hmm. Perfect. I mean, that's it for quick hitters. I do have one about the future of High and Wicked, what you guys are coming up with next, what's on the horizon.
Collaborations.
What's coming down the pipe?
Really wacky blends, I'll be honest. So, you know, I was actually talking with Mr. Brown this morning about this. You know, we validated what we came to do, right? We've got really great accolades thus far. We're starting to get out there. We're expanding the footprint. Singular limited releases have had some like incredible recognition. And so from here, it's kind of like, okay, how do we really start getting out there and getting weird? Right. So I've got two different blends in the works right now. I have a call tomorrow to finalize them, but one can only be classified as a blended whiskey. Okay. The other can only be classified as an American blended whiskey, right? We can't play with subcategories. We can't say straights anymore. Mm-hmm. But my goal, in hoping that we get it approved, is that I will be able to share the exact percentages and exact components of the blend when it comes into it. Because to me, it's really more about what is the flavor in the bottle? What is the actual flavor of the thing more than what do we call the thing? So that's kind of where we're headed. You know, we've got our flagships, we've got our cask strengths, we've got our single barrels, and we've got these weird and wacky singular limited releases. And that's kind of where we're going to keep playing.
No, we love it. We love the blends too. And blends and finished whiskeys, we're all about that. I think it's a great avenue for people who maybe necessarily aren't big whiskey drinkers of the traditional style bourbon and rye to kind of have something a little different with the finishes too and get them started in the whiskey world. So we found that over our careers of drinking.
I love it.
Yeah. And then last one for me, Steve, and then we'll get Brandon out of here unless you have one more. We always ask everybody this last question. You know, obviously you're in the world of whiskey, hospitality and all this with your background. We always say, you know, at the end of the show, if you could give our audience, maybe a novice drinker, a novice even, you know, listener.
Enthusiast.
A curious enthusiast, though.
Curious.
Where should they start in the world of whiskey? Because it's so, I think, overwhelming to a lot of people who are getting started. There's so much out there. There's so many products. There's so many different types of whiskey, blends, finishes, all this stuff. Where would you say they should start in developing their palate and their love for whiskey? Where should that person start?
Find a bartender that you love and respect and ask them to blind taste you on things. Honestly, because it's such an eye-opening experience. If you're the type of person that already thinks that I love bourbon or I love rye or I love Irish or I love whatever, and then talking with a bartender and saying, hey, do me a favor, pour me three small pours of three different ryes or three different bourbons, your choice. Don't tell me what they are. Let me taste them. And then once I tell you which my favorite is, then tell me what it is. Like, that's the best way you can train your palate. Right. And like, get a little Moleskin, take some notes, you know,
keep them under $50 each. So.
exactly. Like give some boundaries. But I mean, like, honestly, I would encourage more people to embrace rye because I think there is so much happening in rye whiskey and we're all excited about bourbon and what's going on there. But I think rye is a great starting place too, you know? Yeah. So it comes down to my own like personal story. So find a bartender you trust and genuinely just trust them and let them run with the ball.
Kind of guide you.
And you know, and guide you through it. Cause their job is to taste shit all day, every day. I mean, again, if they actually care about, you know, the craft side of the experience. So
that's awesome. Great advice, Brandon. Thank you so much for that. Steve, do you have anything else for Brandon before we get him out of here?
I do not.
Cool, no. Gary, Steve, I appreciate it so much.
Right, Brandon, thanks again, sir, for all your time and energy and education tonight. We really appreciate it, and we look forward to sampling more products from High and Wicked. Can't wait for those cast strengths samples. Yeah. we'll find them ourselves. But everybody out there listening, give High and Wicked a chance. We definitely approve of the straight rye and the straight bourbon. We love them, and hopefully you will too. So, Brandon, again, thanks again. Have a good one, and we appreciate your time.
Awesome. Yep. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks, Brandon.
Cheers.
Enjoy.
Thanks again, Brandon, for coming on the podcast with us. We really appreciate your time and depth of knowledge. Make sure everybody goes out and finds a High and Wicked, either the rye or the bourbon. We love them both. Again, check us out, the Real Bourbon Bros podcast, at all our social media accounts. And until next time, giddy up and get going.